and welcome to Como Explained. It's a podcast from the KBIA Newsroom. We take the thorny issues and politics that affect our community and we break them down. I'm Scott Pham, the Digital Content Director here at KBIA. Today, for the last time, for a little while, we've got two co-hosts. First is Ryan Femuliner, Assistant News Director at KBIA. How you doing, Ryan?
Good. Thanks, Scott.
And also with us for the last time is Laura Wegman, city editor at the Columbia Daily Tribune. Except you actually left that post a couple of days ago,
yes,
didn't you?
Yes, former city editor.
Yeah, yeah. So you're moving.
Long time city editor.
Yes.
Long time city editor. And you're moving on to St. Louis, what, tomorrow?
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
Yeah, yeah. I was surprised you wanted to come and do this last episode. It was really nice.
Well, you know, I didn't want to miss one last one. I'll miss the Tribune, but I'll really miss Como Explained. Yeah,
so. The highlight of your
yes.
life in Columbia.
Yeah, it came so late. It's sad.
Yeah, so Laura, why don't you say what we're doing today? What is our topic today?
Well, our topic today is why can't Missouri pronounce its town names right?
Yeah, that's a really not nice way that I phrased it. I'll take ownership of that if anybody gets upset.
But yeah, it's a fun show. It's something that after anybody's lived here for a few months or so, you start finding out about these weird town names that sound like towns from other parts of the country or the world, but aren't pronounced the same way.
Yeah, so we're talking, you've probably heard of some of these names, Nevada, Versailles, towns like that. We're going to get deep into that and try very hard to explain why they aren't pronounced quote-unquote correctly.
So to understand that first, I think it probably helps for us to just sit here and explain how places were named in the state, how towns and cities got their names. So obviously before the area was settled, Native Americans were here. That's an influence for a lot of the names that were later adopted for this area.
Yeah, so the very early explorers, they would come in and they would meet with Native Americans and they would say, what do you call these places? Not necessarily because they were looking for names, but because they were trying to navigate. And
right.
It helps to know what the things are called. Some of those names stuck.
Right, because you're making a map, you put it on the map, all of a sudden that's the name of this place, right?
Yeah, so river names were a big one because a lot of the early navigation was done via river. So that's why we have the Mississippi River out of a Native American word and a bunch of other names as well.
Exactly.
Including the name of the state of Missouri, correct?
Yeah,
from a
right.
Native American name.
It's also from a Native American word.
Yeah,
exactly.
Many of the states in the Midwest, especially heartland of America, are named after
yeah.
it. So then settlers started moving in, and a large part of this area that was settled first were settled by the French, right? Because remember the Louisiana Purchase, so we had to buy it from France. So France was here first. So in the late 18th century, Robert Cavalier claimed everything west of the Mississippi, and we have some of that French influence still around through many parts of especially eastern Missouri, but through the central part of Missouri too.
Yeah, so we get a lot of those names from the French. That's why you're going to see a lot of those names still sticking around. Though, as you'll see later, not all of those names came from the French. A lot of them did. For a few years, we had Spanish rule in Missouri. That was when, in the last few years of the 1700s, the French had kind of given Missouri and all of the Louisiana area to the Spanish, and then the Spanish eventually gave it back. So the Spanish, because they were all kind of down in Latin America, what we now call Latin America, they didn't really come up here to Louisiana. They administered it, but they didn't really settle it the same way the French did. So we have very few names from that time, but we do have a few.
Right. And then, again, the Louisiana Purchase happens. Americans take over. I'd say Americans, but we have a lot, especially people from the area, Kentucky, North Carolina, that region, start making their way into Missouri, what's now Missouri.
Yeah, including a lot of the people, I think, that settled here in the Columbia area. I think there was a lot of descendants from the Kentucky area and that sort of thing
yeah,
around
I think
here.
Even Daniel Boone, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a Kentucky guy.
Right.
And I'm told that Mark Twain, he was part of some of that early rush in the 1800s from other parts of the state. So some of those people were actually immigrants from Europe. Some of them were, you know, first or second generation Americans.
Right.
And so then we get a lot of weird names from them. And they bring a lot of names with them as they settle new lands that hadn't been settled by Americans or Europeans before.
And so many of these Missouri towns are settled in the 1800s. That was kind of the period when most of them were established and when Missouri became a state as well. And, you know, it's mentioned that the New Madrid earthquakes played a role. There was a lot of settlement after that point. Those earthquakes were, I think, around 1812. And after that, some development really got going and people settled on the land that had been, I guess, devastated by the earthquake previously. I don't know if they got it cheap or what, but
you know, it's kind of a funny backstory, too, that a lot of the people that were already there in the kind of earthquake ruined land, they moved inland, and because they got certificates, basically vouchers from the government to trade their land for new land. Yeah, we say new land, just land that no white people have been on before.
Right, right, exactly. And so, but again, a lot, as you mentioned before, they're bringing a lot of names with them as well. That's why there's a lot of overlap between names here and names you'll see in Kentucky and Tennessee and those regions. There's a lot of town names that we'll see duplicated here. And so there's also another kind of strange little aside here about how towns got their names. Some of it had to do with once mail service began. In order to get postal service in your town, you actually had to have a post office there.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes getting the post office and becoming a town where it was like the same thing kind of happened at the same time. So if you wanted to have a post office, you would have to write the federal government and they'd say, what's your town name? And then you have to write a name down. So some of these names are just kind of chosen on the spot. And it's also one reason why we get a lot of weird short names, because for some reason at that time, the federal government preferred short names and asked new towns to choose short names. So we have towns like Ziff, Zig, and Ink, all three letter names that the federal government liked a lot.
Right, or funny ones they picked just to be done with it, right? Like Rat or Enough, Missouri. You can picture this guy who's written four requests and they've all said, oh, we already have Johnson, Missouri. Fine, Enough, Missouri. And then that all of a sudden that's the name of a town.
Yeah, this is the story that I read in a book. I don't really believe that. I have no reason to not believe it. It just sounds ridiculous.
Which, maybe that's a good time to bring her in. The book you're talking about, we talked to the author of this book, right?
So to do this show, I asked a bunch of people, but I didn't want to ask 10,000 people, so I found an expert. I found a book. That essentially, I guess, is why we find experts. But her name is Margot Ford McMillan, and she wrote this book called Paris, Tightwad, and Peculiar. It's the story behind the funny-sounding names of Missouri. The show that we're doing here is not exactly about strange town names, of which there are a lot in Missouri.
Could be another show.
Yeah. Could be another show. This one is about the strangely pronounced names. So that's not exactly what Margot's book was about, but I figured she'd have something to say. And she had a lot to say, and we'll get into it. But I wanted to play you this clip because when I asked her about all these wrongly pronounced names, she kind of came at me a little bit at first and said, hold up, let's get a couple of things clear here.
I have to take issue with you when you say that the names are pronounced wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They are pronounced the way that we pronounce them in Missouri. So sometimes maybe we pronounce them that way because the first guy who named the town pronounced it that way. Or sometimes we brought the pronunciations with us from some other place. Or sometimes we kind of phonetically figured it out.
So she's right. You can never say pronunciation is or is not correct, but I still think they sound weird.
Yeah, well, they're different than the name of a larger town, right? You mentioned earlier Versailles, right? Obviously, Versailles is a much more prominent town than Versailles, Missouri.
Probably the better, more correct way to talk about this is to say that these are counterintuitive pronunciations.
They're alternative.
Alternative
yes.
pronunciations.
There you
yes.
go.
Or creative.
Both of those. Those are all very politically correct ways to say this.
Yeah,
good job,
but
guys.
You know, it gets at the point that a different, perhaps better pronunciation does exist out there, right? It's not just that they sound funny. It's that there's somebody else who says it a different way. And it's generally more accepted.
And one that makes a more historic sense sometimes, too. So she was getting at it, but why do we have some of these mispronunciations? I mean, we talked about some of the heritage. It sounded like, Scott, the Spanish did have a little bit of an impact on some of these, but not really, right?
We're going to start with them so we get them out of the way, right? So the Spanish, because they didn't really settle here, we didn't have a lot of towns named after Spanish words. So St. Charles is one example. It was originally called San Carlos and then got kind of anglicized into St. Charles. And then there's New Madrid, which was originally Nuevo Madrid and then Nouvelle Madrid. And then finally, New Madrid is what we settled on now. And, you know, we're not going to be able to explain why we say Madrid instead of Madrid, though I think after so many changes, it's a pretty understandable mispronunciation.
Sure, yeah. With so many shifts, you can see how somebody would mix up a few syllables here and there. But no, unfortunately, it's lost to history from what we could tell. The State Historical Society's explanation is that it probably was pronounced Madrid at first, and then the pronunciation was probably adopted or became prominent, and nobody knows why.
For most of the strange pronunciations, most of the counterintuitive alternative pronunciations, you're going to have to blame the rest of America.
Right? Well, Kentucky?
Okay, not all of America.
Not all of America, just this one region. Yeah. Kentucky, Tennessee, again, that region where a lot of people were moving to Missouri after Louisiana Purchase and starting to settle these towns and bring in these different town names, right?
Yeah. So those people came in. They started to settle. It was a massive expansion compared to the kind of slow settlement that was going on under the French. They were making a lot of new town names, and they often brought new names with them from the places they lived, mainly Kentucky, North Carolina, some southern states.
Actually, one of the good examples of this is Lebanon, right? Lebanon is where you would pronounce the major city overseas, but Lebanon is how you pronounce the town here in Missouri. And so according to the city's website, this town was named Lebanon after the town of Lebanon, Tennessee. And so that's how they pronounced it, and that it was a result of a regional dialect there in Tennessee, right? So,
yeah, you know, and a lot of these strange pronunciations have origins like that. And it's a little bit annoying, right, because it's like, well, then why did they pronounce it that way in Tennessee? Right.
Regional but, dialect is the only explanation we have.
Yeah. Basically. You have to find another podcast. We don't go there. It's not our purview.
And I thought that was interesting, but then it doesn't make any sense when you, like, I did a little more research into that name, and there's also a town in New Hampshire with the Lebanon pronunciation, which, okay, the regional dialect thing doesn't explain that. So who knows where that came from or if that one predated the other two. But some of these are just, like you said earlier, kind of lost to history.
Mm-hmm. Right. But it is kind of a satisfying explanation for those that want to have some kind of, Missouri pride about this. You know, it's like, it's nothing about Missouri. Right?
Not our fault.
It might not even be Tennessee. It's something that goes back really far out of our area that explains this pronunciation.
Right.
Right. So another example of that name moving over here is Milan, which is actually Milan, Missouri. And I went ahead and called City Hall on this one because we couldn't find much information out there on it. It's a small town. So I contacted City Hall. They said, call the newspaper. They'll know. So I called the Milan Standard, and a woman answered the phone who said, oh, yeah, well, here's what happened. There was a guy who his last name was Hill, and he used to own the land that now makes up the town of Milan. People would drive by in their wagons way back when. He would run down and say, keep on moving. This is my land. And so people went. So, yes. So then.
Ryan has his fist in the air for everyone listening.
Of course I do.
Yes.
So then the story continues on that people later would drive by and say, no, we don't want to stop there. That's Milan. She was telling me the story, and I'm like, oh, come on. And then her husband, who owns the paper too, they own the paper together, of course, Charlie Clark gets on the phone and says, yeah, that's not true. That's a fake story. But then he did say it's just named after, you know, a Frenchman or a Spanish general or something like that. I can't remember his name. But he said, just like all the other Milans all over the country, almost every state in the country has a Milan. And I said, you mean like Milan, right? He's like, well, no, we say Milan. Like, okay. Made that very clear. But he also laughed at the fact that people still mispronounce it too, mispronounce their pronunciation, not Milan, but they'll say like Milan. He said there was a TV reporter there from Kansas City were saying Milan the whole time, and it drove them all crazy. But so Milan is where it is in Milan. Here in Missouri.
All right. Some other ones that came from Kentucky, notably, are Versailles. And that's the one that gets under a lot of people's skin, mine included. I don't know if you guys feel that way. That drives me nuts. But that also came from Kentucky, also pronounced Versailles. So again, that pronunciation comes from out of the state.
So one that's interesting that's not French or Spanish or anything else we've talked about is Kabul, Missouri. Am I saying that right? Kabul.
I'm actually not sure.
Well, at any rate, the interesting thing about Kabul, Missouri, is that it is named after the capital of Afghanistan. However, it's spelled differently. Whereas in Afghanistan, it's spelled with a K, K-A-B-U-L. The Missouri town is C-A-B-O-O-L. So even though the pronunciations may be similar or the same, the spelling is what's different. And there's, I think, maybe some varying explanations for this. But either people weren't sure how to spell it back when the town was founded, or some accounts are saying, well, they actually just wanted it to look less foreign. That, even though it was being named after a foreign country, they wanted it to look more Americanized.
Another interesting one that we haven't talked about yet is Rolla, which doesn't seem like it's a problem, right? If you look at the name Rolla, R-O-L-L-A.
Yeah, it's not a lot of ways to mess that up.
No, not really, except it's a huge mess up. Right, Scott, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's named after Sir Walter Raleigh. And, you know, and I talked to a professor today, Dr. Gubble from Lincoln University, and he told me that they tried to name it after Raleigh, but kind of what happens is that the accent back then in the early 1800s, you imagine somebody that is from Scotch-Irish descent moves to somewhere like Kentucky, Tennessee, North Carolina, soaks up that culture after a generation or two. What in the world does their accent sound like? I honestly have no idea, but it's very plausible that the way you say Raleigh in that accent just kind of comes out Rolla. So then perhaps that name is verbal for a while. It's not written down. When they finally get around to writing it down, nobody quite remembers like why it's called that or how it was supposed to be spelled. So they spell it the way it sounds.
Yeah, so now it's phonetic. Now it's Rolla, R-O-L-L-A.
Yeah.
And I did, just for fun, since that was a pretty brief explanation, I looked up Sir Walter Raleigh. And if you don't know about him, he's a true badass. Like, I definitely envy his life. Wikipedia lists him as an English aristocrat, writer, poet, soldier, spy, and explorer. He popularized tobacco in England and in the U.S. He secretly married Queen Elizabeth I's daughter, so they were both thrown in prison. He sailed all over the world, went to South America to chase the City of Gold. He wrote a book about it that ended up being part of the legend of El Dorado, which we'll talk about here in a little bit, actually. It all comes full circle. And then he was beheaded in the palace, Old Palace Yard in Westminster. And his last final words reportedly are, "Strike, man, strike," as the person is supposed to chop his head off. So basically just, yeah, what a cool guy.
Yeah,
I'm glad that there's somebody, a place in Missouri that honors this man. But we also didn't do a very good job of honoring him. We just bastardized his name.
No, what's funny is just, I just feel like this guy knew how to do colonialism. You know? He was like, this is a new country for me to go and screw stuff up in.
Exactly. And apparently when he was killed, it had a lot to do with the Spanish. We talked about earlier that England was trying to appease the Spanish because he'd gone and like ransacked some Spanish town. And they were like, all right, fine. This guy's already pissed us off many times throughout his life. We'll just get him out of here. Oh, Sir Walter Raleigh. All right. So that's Rolla.
Yeah, that's Rolla.
There's a few others, right?
Yeah,
I was going to mention Hayti, Missouri, which is kind of a weird one for a couple of reasons. A, Hayti, it's spelled H-A-Y-T-I, so which is not like Haiti, the country.
Strike number one.
Yes.
You can't spell it right.
You might think perhaps it was named after Haiti in some way, but you would be incorrect because basically this is another account from the State Historical Society, but it was named after someone who owned land there who was named Dr. Hayes, H-A-Y-E-S. And so they used the first part of his name for Hayti. And then the explanation for the T-I at the end, the tie part, was a reference to like a ridge of land, I guess, tied the land to another location. So it was put together as Hayti, and that was the explanation. So nothing to do with Haiti whatsoever, but a lot of people still point to it as a place that's, oh, they're spelling that wrong and pronouncing it wrong.
Yeah. And in fact, they're doing neither. It's just
right.
a contraction.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
It seems confusing. But again, it seems like it fits in that category because we have places like Japan, Missouri.
Yeah,
right.
Japan, Missouri is a weird one because, first of all, I don't think it's actually a town anymore, but it's an historical town, and it used to have people there.
I think it may still be there, though. I drove past there
really?
A year or two ago, and there's at least a school there.
Huh.
I don't know if it's a town or just, I'm not sure. What,
there's a lot of things called Japan that are left,
that
for
could
sure.
be. It could just be a school district
or
something.
There's a church, too, right?
Yeah.
I think it might just be they don't have mail service anymore.
That could
know.
Be.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to find on a map is the main thing that I'm saying.
By the way, it's spelled like Japan. We haven't mentioned that. So
that's the main
lost.
Thing. Japan spelled J-A-P-A-N. Right. It was a town that was named after a church, actually. And the church was called the Martyrs of Japan, though I doubt they said it quite that way. And the martyrs they're referring to is a group of Christian missionaries who had traveled to Japan and were killed for their beliefs over there.
Right.
So they took the name. They took that name in their church, and then the town took that name from the church.
Right. And one of the stories about the mispronunciation, which it didn't seem from what I read actually to be true, but I've seen stories about it or heard stories about it, was that it had to do with around the World War II that people tried to change the pronunciation from Japan to Japan. But from what I've read, it actually was already pronounced Japan at that point.
Yeah, I think it's a common misreading of that story to attribute the mispronunciation. But apparently there was talk about changing the name after Pearl Harbor because people were very sensitive about it.
Right, but that didn't happen. And they felt better about it because, like, oh, we don't say it that way anyway. All right, fine.
Yeah.
So it reiterated.
It's not really Japan.
Right, it reiterated. So people looking at maps weren't as mad once they found out how it was actually said. Let's see, a couple others. One isn't actually in Missouri, but we talk about it a lot, and that's Cairo.
Yeah, Cairo is one of those similar situation. Well, actually, I don't know whose fault Cairo is.
Well, when you talked to McMillan, what did she say? She had said something about this.
I asked Margo McMillan about Cairo, and she says that, you know, a lot of names from these early settlement times came from books, and the Bible was a major source of places and a major source of information about the world. So you're going to have a lot of people that are naming things after places they've never been to and never met anybody from simply because it's in this book.
Right. Nobody from real world, present day Cairo ever spoke to them, so they never heard it pronounced correctly because at this point in history, you know, that's just, it's not, it's like you said, through the text, which doesn't come with pronouncers. So
yeah, exactly. Not coming with pronouncers. Another town that we should mention is Nevada. And Nevada is funny because it's, you know, Nevada is a place that is in America that you could perhaps get some kind of information about. But the explanation that we've heard about this is that it was a town that was called Haggai in Vernon County. And then it kind of took on the name of Nevada because it was just popular back then, I guess. Like the West was cool and people were moving there. But apparently not enough people were coming back to inform them of the pronunciation.
Right. So they're like getting letters from their family that have gone out to California for the gold rush or whatever, right? And they're saying, here, there's these towns, Nevada, and there's California, which we have a California. La Plata, which we'll talk about in a second too, actually, is one of them. But yeah, so those types of towns, I guess I can't blame them because even Nevada mispronounced is better than Hog Eye. That's a pretty terrible name for a town.
I don't know. It has a certain flavor to it, I guess.
I don't want to know what that flavor is. What else have we missed? I think those are some of the obvious ones. There's also some that are pronounced right, that it's shocking when names are pronounced correctly.
Yeah,
right?
So we've gone through a lot of mispronunciations, and a lot of them are very strangely, conspicuously correct, or perhaps I should say intuitive. Lacking an alternative, right? And one of them is not far from where you grew up, right, Laura?
Right, yeah. I went to high school in Mexico, Missouri, which is right down the road from Avoz. And, you know, that's a French-inspired name pronounced basically correctly. It's AUXVASSE. And it's funny because people assume that it's going to be pronounced incorrectly, you know, some Americanized version, Missouri version of the pronunciation. So people will ask you if they know that you're from that area, oh, how do they say that? Is it Oxvass or Oxvassy? And you're like, no, it's actually sort of correct. And people are always surprised to hear that.
It's so fun to, because we have all these new students that work in the KBIA newsroom. We have to try to tell them how to pronounce all these names. So now we'll have a nice list ready for them when they see this. But of Oz, like the way I tell them is, you know, like the Wizard of Oz. And that works. That actually works. They usually
get it after
that. That
made me laugh so much the first time.
Yeah, I know. But it's dumb, but it actually works. The same way that, like, when it was sequestration, I just say Ryan Seacrest Station. I messed it up.
That's
even
a terrible one. Don't do that one.
I already did it. But no, so that usually works. But of Oz, yeah, like you said, it's actually pretty close to how it should be pronounced. And you'd expect it, especially, I mean, Missouri is not the only place. We've kind of already touched on that. It's not the only place where people mispronounce names like this. But there just seems to be such a ridiculous amount of them that we already talked about. But
yeah, so I talked to McMillan about this as well. And she told me that the towns that were actually settled by the French and kind of kept that French identity helped to kind of to pass that knowledge along to other generations, and then the name sticks. The problem that we get in pronunciations is when you have people that are not from that part of the world naming things. So, you know, Paris was not one of the original French settlements, but Avoz might have been. It's just interesting because you have these two different European origins for names, some of them by actual Europeans, some of them by people who just like the name.
All right. Yeah. Well, and they have another example. The pear in the St. Louis area. That's pronounced pretty much right, at least from by American standards.
Damn close considering.
Yeah, exactly. Much better than Des Perez, the way I said it the first time I drove through it with my wife. I'm part of the problem, guys.
So one thing that I didn't expect to find when I was doing research on this was that there are some town names and place names that are corruptions of other words but don't look like they are. So these are actually kind of mispronunciations that we're missing, that we don't notice. A lot of them come from rivers because those river names are older than the town names often. There's the Marys River. Is that how people say it?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Marys River.
Pretty sure that's
and there's
right.
Marys County as well, I think. That actually comes from the French. There's some apocryphal story about it being named after somebody named Mary or sisters named Mary. But it actually comes from the French marais, which means marsh or swamp. So that's actually a corruption of a French word that we've actually kind of accepted because it sounds like it could have English roots. There's also the Current River, which is a corruption of, I'm going to say it wrong, but I think it's Courant, and that means swift moving water, which is like the word current.
Right. That's kind of my thing. It sounds like that's just, I've been on the Current River. I always assumed it was named after the word current in the English language. But
well, maybe that's where the English word came from.
Yeah,
too.
Probably. Yeah, all those E and T words tend to come from the French.
Right.
But yeah, it's funny that it seems like we didn't translate it. We just messed it up and then got lucky that it happens to have a very similar meaning.
You could essentially do the same thing we've been doing for this entire show and talk about the English language in general, right? For a lot of words, that's how words get pronounced.
And
we just mispronounce them or spell them differently. But we did. It's different with town. It seems different with town names, right? You'd think you could get it right, although sorry for saying right. So I hope that helped. I think that's probably all we can explain, right? I mean, again, a lot of this stuff is just kind of lost to history, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. It's just the way words were pronounced, and that's what, again, as Mrs. McMillan told us during your interview, that's just the way, if that's the way people that live in that town pronounce it, that's the way it's pronounced.
Yeah, in the end, none of these are really wrong. I'm just pointing out the ones that piss me off.
And we didn't even talk about Missouri and Missouri, so
no.
I'm happy about that.
Yeah, no, we're not going to. We don't have to, so that's we're not going to do it.
That's fine with me.
I'm sorry, the internet. Well, thanks for joining us for your last episode, Laura.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
Yeah. Best of luck.
It was really fun. Okay, so I'm just going to finish it then. So that's going to do it for Como Explained. I am Scott Pham. My co-hosts are Ryan Femuliner and Laura Wegman. Jack Howard assisted with production this week. Many thanks, Jack. Give us a listen each and every week. Find us on KBIA.org or even better, the iTunes Store. Just search for Como Explained, then hit the subscribe button and get a shiny new podcast automatically each week in your machine of choice. If you've got a comment or a show idea, we love them both. Email us at news@KBIA.org. Tweet us @KBIA. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
Bye, guys.